Welcome to the Ryan Casey Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Casey. If you're interested in exploring the untold stories of successful individuals from all walks of life, then you have come to the right place. Join me as we dive into the depths of their achievements and accomplishments. Instead of simply asking about their strategies for success and how they outpace their competition, we aim to uncover the deeper layers of their journey. Through thought-provoking and insightful questions, we seek to reveal the personal struggles, the pivotal moments, and the transformative experiences that shape their paths to success. From celebrated entrepreneurs to visionary artists, from industry leaders to everyday heroes, each episode offers a unique perspective on the human experience. Because true success isn't just about the destination, it's about the journey itself. Tune in as we unravel the stories behind the success. One captivating conversation at a time. Embark on this enriching journey with us and discover the profound wisdom that lies within the lives of these remarkable individuals. Welcome to The Journey Within. On today's episode, we have Dennis Hill, the esteemed chief instructor and owner of Connecticut Krav Maga and MMA. He is a respected figure in the world of martial arts. With a lifetime dedicated to mastering various forms of combat, he stands as a beacon of expertise and wellness as well. Dennis' impact reaches far and wide, having trained military professionals, police officers, and detectives, equipping them with individual skills crucial for their professions. In his impressive martial arts journey, Dennis holds a fifth degree black belt and the esteemed title of Master Instructor in Combat Hapkido. Additionally, he holds black belts in Judo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and Krav Maga, earning him the respect and admiration within the martial arts community. Notably, Dennis also holds a Master of Business Administration from the Quinnipiac University. Dennis's commitment to excellence extends to his academic pursuits, as seen in his 8 years of dedicated study of Russian freestyle wrestling. Dennis Hill's journey is a testament to his relentless pursuit of mastery and his unwavering commitment to empowering others on their path to well-being. Here's Dennis Hill and his journey within. How did you enter the world of martial arts and how old were you?
Let's see. So I started when I was seven. So interesting thing, when I was a boy, Bruce Lee was everything. I loved Bruce Lee. And I basically used to just hound my mother to do martial arts. So back then, karate was a big thing. And for my seventh birthday, that's when I started. So I remember how the adults looked like giants when I was in class. And back then I started, all I knew is his name was Mr. Lee. And my mom brought me down. And that started a passion that just goes on to this day. And Mr. Lee was a nice, kind man, and he would mostly teach the adults. So back then, you saw a lot of adults in karate. I think now it's more, karate is more, you see kids, but he would keep us to the side, and he would teach us, and we would do things, and I just fell in love with it. I just knew that this is it. This is what I love.
So how did you keep that passion, right? At my age, I was like, oh, I'm going to play the piano, I'm going to do this. Never stuck with it, right? Because you're all over. So what has kept that passion going from at seven till now?
I think in the beginning, what I was missing in my life, my dad died when I was young. So I grew up with my mom. I grew up with my sister. So I felt like I grew up with all moms. And my dad died. It was a hit and run. So, you know, one day he was there, next day he wasn't. And I didn't have role models, male role models, really in my life. And good male role models, let me say that, because that's a whole other story with some of the men that were, my sisters are older than me, so they're boyfriends and their husbands, and that was some of them were not really good role models. I needed role models that were showing me how to live life as a boy, as a man, as a male. And I found that through a lot of people that I saw in martial arts training. So that's a good question, Ryan, because sometimes I have to reflect on that myself. And that was something that I found, like, there were like people there that like, these are good people. It goes beyond martial arts. Mm-hmm. These are just, it attracts good people. Mm-hmm. And for me as a little boy who needed, if you will, a father figure, I needed that, and I found that. And I think that was one of the first things that I probably didn't realize that when I was first going in, because to me, is whatever Bruce Lee does, that's what I want to do. Right. And even though I did Taekwondo, my mom didn't know like what he studied. It was just bring him to the local school, and that was that. But I think then it went much deeper than that. I found that, and that was something that I, as a young boy, needed in my life.
Now, to even peel it back a little bit more, like, so really you made a decision. There was a decision where you didn't want to go down a certain path, and I was been in that situation too. Maybe I took like two steps, but I always kind of came back like, no, this is not where I want to go. And I was thinking, what, even at a young age, where do you think that decision making or that constant double thinking over comes from? Like, what made, like, where did that all begin? Do you think that's your, that was your core value? Was that through your upbringing? What made you, because I feel like a lot of times there are kids that just don't do, they just kind of, it's the easy path. It's easy just to kind of like, oh, this is comfortable. This isn't like, you're going into very tall men, very strong people, you know what I mean? And a lot of kids are going to be intimidated. Mm-hmm. And then they go, well, let's just go down the easy path. And I'd rather just go here with my friends who are not doing much of anything because I know them.
Yeah, so you mean as far as... what kept you going even those days you didn't really want to sometimes?
Yeah,
well,
kind of like it's more of this, like that decision, like you made the decision to go one way, not the other way. Where did that, how did that begin just to make that decision?
I think I always wanted to improve my life. Mm. I always wanted to say that I want to make sure that I'm living a life that I know is going to be a good life, a life that I'm going to serve other people, a life that I can give back. And I knew that I was kind of seeing that in martial arts. It helps you to develop certain things, mm-hmm. hard work, discipline, things like that. And I think we, at some point in our life, we realize that to be successful in this life, there are certain things that you have to do. You have to work hard, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to share a funny story with you because you made me think about this. Yeah. When you're young and you're playing with your friends outside and things like that, when I was growing up, we had woods in our backyard. That was like our playground. Like we would always be in there. So sometimes when it's time to go and take class and take lessons and you start seeing that, I'm outside playing in the woods. I don't want to go because I'm having fun doing this. So my mom was really smart. She was to say, Dennis, you know, back then they would call out, just yell out, like, it's time, you know, it's time for karate. And, but I'd be like, well, I don't want to go, Mom, because I'm having fun with my friends, you know, playing in the woods and my jackknife and whittling wood and whatever we were doing. So she was like, okay, it's time to come in for homework then. You know, she would always like make it like, okay, you have a choice now. Like your choice is not going to be, you can go to karate or stay out with your friends playing in the woods. Your choice is, okay, you can come in and do homework now, or you can go to karate.
Right. Now that
so she knew as a young person, like, this is good for you. Mm. This is good for you. But I also understand you're a kid and you're going to make these, if I left it up to you, you would obviously not even go, right?
Right.
You would stay out there and then this would be something that fades away and you wouldn't even do, even though maybe it was something that was important to you. And that would be like helping you as a kid to make better decisions.
Decisions, right.
But I always found that, you know, I even think like if she didn't do that, I think maybe I would miss things, but I would go back because I knew it was a passion that I had. For sure.
Now, really quick, just go through what you have trained in. If you can, how long you've been doing it for and what degree, well, or what, how best way to?
Sure. So let's see. I've been training, you know, I'm going to be turning 58. Sometimes forget how old I am, but, I've done a lot of things. It started with Taekwondo. I did Tung Soo Do as well. So there's, There's a lot of Korean martial arts that I did, and I got into judo. I also had to think about like the timeline. I did Aikido. My wife is like, you are obsessed with martial arts. Because sometimes she'll be like, oh my God, you just got home from training. Now you're watching UFC or something. It's like, yes, I love this. It's like, that's what I like to do. But let's see, Aikido, judo. I started getting into Russian martial arts, Sambo and Russian wrestling. When BJJ hit the shores of the U.S., I got into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I had a long stint with Hapkido, another Korean system. And I got into Krav Maga. And there's stories into like how I got into all of this stuff. And I mean, fast forwarding to today, and we can talk about like the different arts and why I did them and all of that. But fast forward today, I try to stick to a couple of different things. I love jiu-jitsu. I love how jiu-jitsu now modern, you can incorporate your judo into it. You can incorporate wrestling into it. I really love that. It's very open. Krav Maga, I think, is incredibly valuable for people for self-defense skills. I think the system is probably the best that I've ever seen that teaches practical self-defense skills. You know, I really enjoy doing Kali, even though I don't do it as much as I used to. That's a Filipino martial art. So, and Ryan, you may or may not know this, I still really enjoy going boxing. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things that I like, but I find that Krav Maga can kind of touch upon many of those, and the same thing BJJ does as well. So, yeah, but I have my black belts in different systems, and Hapkido, I've gone really far with that. I ended up grading to my fifth degree black belt, and getting, I don't think you're ever a master. I don't think you can ever say, like, I've mastered this. But there are certain titles that they have at certain degrees. So that was one that was a really kind of cool thing to get. So, right. Yeah.
Okay.
So
when you realize how passionate you were about this, was it more of a, you know, you had a goal for yourself, like, I want to get just right here with this type of martial arts, learn something else, kind of, and then you took it steps? Or was it more like you were doing like 5, 6? Because a lot of times you do, like, you know, when people want to lose weight, a lot of times it's like, well, don't think about you're trying to lose 30, 50, just get to 2 pounds first. Like, because then I feel like people get, if you run into something too quick, you get burnt out, right? Mm-hmm. Or you take it, it's too strong. It's going to be a little bit of a, is that how you went through that process of?
Yeah, I think when I first started, probably like most people, you probably thought like, I'll never make black belt. You know, maybe that, like that, you know, we always have self-doubt in our mind and you have to combat that. But I would say that I enjoyed it. So I didn't think of the belts as a goal. Like, I must make this belt. Like, I just wanted to keep learning. So I think it was the fact that as you're trying to keep learning, all the belts just came with it. That was like what happened as you're learning and getting better. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have a goal as, you know, I want to have all these black belts. It was just like, I want to learn. So for me, I found with different systems, they're all very good at certain things, but they also lack, if you will, certain things. And I love it by design. You know, mm-hmm. it's by, like, judo. I love judo. I mean, mm-hmm. judo is going to teach you how to grapple really well, especially in a standing situation, how to toss people, how to take them down, how to hold them. Groundwork, not as extensive as jiu-jitsu, but there's groundwork. But people are like, well, you know, there's no punching. It's like, yes, because it's by design. That's not what you do in judo. So I always found that for me, one of the things that I wanted to do was be complete. I wanted to make sure that I could handle myself in any, if it's a physical encounter, any type of physical encounter. So I needed to know striking and grappling and all of that. So my thirst for knowledge kept bringing me to other types of arts.
Okay.
And it was not really to get belts. It was more to learn. But okay. Then the belts just came. It's just part of martial arts training.
So we could say, I think it'd be fair to say that, you know, it's great with the belts, but you really sacrifice your time or dedicate a majority of your life to this art to gain the knowledge. You know, I take two classes with you as well. And I feel like now you're as a teacher, you're what knowledge you are teaching me that you learn, you're now sharing to us. So I guess when you're trying to learn something, you're trying to find the answers to the questions. So what were the questions that you had that you thought that martial arts can answer? And then what do you want your students to learn? So it's like, you know, like full circle now. It's like, why did I want to know it? What did I know? And why do I want these other people? Why do I feel it's important for these other people to know my experience?
So I think that the first thing that always pops into my head when I think about martial arts is that it does give people a sense of confidence. So when you think about that, you're like, okay, it gives you confidence as you're learning tricky things. Like let's say today, what we're working on today, it's like, all right, guys, this stuff that we're doing comes from my instructor, came from Russian wrestling. We incorporated into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So Joseph Vigdorchik was a gentleman that taught at our school for 8 years. So he taught at our school. There's a lot we learned from him. But it's a little tricky though, right? At first. And you're thinking that once you start developing the skills, and this can go back even as a boy, as you're training, or it goes back to anything that you're learning in martial arts. Some things will be a little bit easy. Some things are going to be hard. Some arts are a little harder than others. But if you're learning something that seems pretty hard, but then you learn it, you start to build confidence in yourself. You start saying to yourself, you know, I could do things. I learned that. That was hard. That could translate to school. I mean, college. I loved studying things, but let's face it, that's hard. I went from my master's to, it's like, it's you start developing this ability to know that if you apply yourself, you can accomplish things in this world. You can accomplish what you set out to do. You know, of course, putting hard work into it, it could happen. I think that's the main thing that I like people to learn. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that come with it too. You'll see there's this respect that goes with martial arts. I think that teaches people, like I strongly believe that in this world, like the best thing you can be is be kind to other people. Be kind. We treat each other with respect at the school, that we speak a certain way. We want to use positive language. We want to encourage people, motivate people. We don't want to say things that are negative towards people. You want to try to build people up and not tear them down. Those are all things that I learned through my time in martial arts. And you start seeing those things become maybe even more important than just the technical skills that you're learning. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that I pass those things on to our people. And I think when people come in, they're going to see that, like, yeah, this is different. Mm-hmm. This is not something that I've ever experienced before.
You mentioned about, so the reason I came to you, I had thoughts about, you know, taking some type of, it was a couple of reasons. I told you I needed some time for something just for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, what can I do for about an hour or so that's going to bring me the most, that's going to kind of hit a whole bunch of different areas, right? So for me, it was, you know, confidence. I have two daughters. One's an infant, one's a toddler. I was like, man, you know, you just never know, you know, like what could happen. So I was like, I got to learn something. I felt like it was more of a responsibility as a father. But, you know, I remember as a kid, all my friends did martial arts and I didn't. And it's probably something I look back on and I kind of regret, but I didn't have the confidence. And you, as you mentioned, it does give you confidence, but it's very difficult when you have someone who's thinking about that doesn't have the confidence because it's intimidating. Anytime you see anything, the Karate Kid, you see all these, you know, Bruce Lee, you know, you see the extreme, but I don't think people see the more human, like the more relationship and mental thinking that goes to it. So what would you say to those people who are kind of like in a rut or they need something for themselves, they want to build up their confidence, and this is, because to me, I think that there's plenty of ways to build your confidence, but you are going to, well, I figured martial arts as an extreme, like you are physically learning to protect yourself, but then you also are learning to control it as well. So I feel like it hits so many planes. So what would you say to those people who are just like, the confidence isn't there, but this could be something that would change their life?
So I think, you mean if somebody wanted to come in and take lessons?
So if someone wanted to come in,
they kind of give you a ring or call. Or, I mean, I'm not saying just my school. I mean, this is something that happens everywhere.
It can be, you know, anywhere. Like,
if you're teaching good martial arts, this could be any school that's teaching great martial arts.
I guess it's kind of like, you know, what would you say if people are having thoughts and they just don't have the confidence to reach out? Like, so I reach out because I want to make a change.
Yeah.
You know, some people reach out because they hit rock bottom. Like, what would you say to those?
I try to tell people, like, in the beginning, because, like, you had just mentioned, like, some people may not reach out because they feel like I can't take the first step. So the first thing that I want people to understand, and if you think, like, why do they think that? They probably think, I can't do this. I might look foolish doing this. Is they need to understand that it's very beginner friendly. The first thing is, I think, with anything, is you have to understand it's very beginner friendly. You don't have to come in knowing things. You could, and we'll help you from there, but you can come in, it's good. Complete beginner, and that's perfectly fine. That they know that's fine. And then I think when they come in, I think they'll start to realize that in the beginning, when you're training, like one of the first skills you have to develop is your own self-talk, how you talk to yourself. Like you'll hear in class, like we say, we need to be patient with ourselves. This is going to be tricky to learn. Be patient with yourself. Then they start to learn that you have to understand how to talk to yourself. An example could be if we're doing something tricky, and this could be in martial arts, it could be in school, it could be in soccer, it could be in anything. And someone's like, I don't think I can do it. And they try it. And they're like, you know, they might then say, like, see, I told you I couldn't do it. That might be their self-talk. Or you try to teach them the self-talk is like, see, I told you it's tricky. Try again. If you keep going, you're going to get better. You will get better. Be patient and learn how to talk to yourself in a very kind, in a very positive and uplifting way.
So, Dennis, you talked about, and the analogy that's coming to my head right now is like a flame, right? So you, 7 years old, you have this flame. It's a passion. And now here you are today. Tell me a little bit about, and be honest, the flame. Has it always been very strong? Did it ever kind of feel like that passion went away? And it never went away. Now, how do you, so I always kind of use this as an analogy. Like a lot of times what I notice that we do as a society, especially through social media, we find our self-worth through others, right? So if you have a fire and that confidence represents, I'm sorry, that fire represents confidence or just passion, you can only, and the people and the likes are fuel, it can only keep that fire going for so long, right? Then you have to find someone else to, but if you are continual flow of fuel, natural gas to a fire, you don't have to worry on others. And it's how do you get there? So if you're saying that flame has never gone out, what is that continue, like even if there's, yeah.
So there's a quote, I don't know who gets credit for this quote, but it's one that I love, and it says, purpose is a great alarm clock.
Mm.
I think we all have in us something that we feel we are drawn to, like some sort of mission or some, like, what's your gift to the world? I think, if I could say, God gave us, like, this ability that he didn't give to everybody else. Like, there's people out there that we need different professions, people that do different things. And I think each of us has that calling inside of us. And you need to listen to that calling, because that's your gift to the world. So God gave me a passion for martial arts. I need to use that, and I need to develop that the best that I can. I love getting on the mat every single time. So you think of how many times have I stepped on the training floor? I don't know. Lots. I get excited every time I step on the training floor. Funny story. When I opened up the school, I was in big corporation, doing well. But I was like, this just isn't for me. This isn't my passion. This isn't what I want to do. And when I made the decision to leave the corporate world and start a school, people thought I was out of my mind. The people that I worked for thought I was absolutely out of my mind. You're going to leave this position to do what? People thought I was nuts. Mm. But that was, 23 years ago? And it's like, I had to do it. I had to do it. It's what I felt my calling was. So I feel like every time I get up, my goal is to teach people and serve people some of those more deeper qualities and better their lives through martial arts.
Were you afraid to open up the business? Like, were you afraid?
Oh, God, yeah. I had a lot of fear.
Because I think that's the problem.
But it didn't stop me.
Right, because I think that's a lot of problem. Is, you know, there's nothing worse than, you know, a lot of times people can't wear masks. Like I was just saying, we see on social media and all this. And then when people finally remove their mask and they put themselves out there and they fail, mm-hmm. it hurts. But that failure is probably just, I agree with you. Anyone can do whatever they want. But that failure is it has to happen. Right. And then people kind of retreat. They're like, oh, I didn't like that feeling of trying something and going out there. But
I think martial arts teaches you that failure is part of the journey. Mm-hmm. Every time you try a technique, is it perfect? No.
No.
It's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Your goal is to try.
Yeah.
And try again. Yeah. And try again. Mm-hmm. And try again. And you keep trying until you get it right. You keep learning after every try. You get better and better. And I think that carries over to life. I think you have to build that type of grit in your life, that you understand that's how life works. It is going to always be like that. It's not going to be common that you try things and all of a sudden you hit a home run as soon as you try. That's not how life works. And so I think that is another part of martial arts training that teaches you life. You know, you have to understand that failing is part of success.
And I think that's a problem now, especially with the most recent generations, is that everything is instant. If I want to watch a movie, I don't have to go to Blockbuster.
People
want to
get good fast.
Amazon, they want the results. They really don't know what they want.
Yeah, it's human nature. It's like that you want to get somewhere as quickly as you can. So mm-hmm. there's ways you can try to do that, but you also have to be fair and understanding that there's some things that it's just not going to be that quick. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that to get good at this, it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that. But you want to hear something funny?
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
let me share this with you. When I started jiu-jitsu, there was nobody around in Connecticut teaching it. Or wait, there's this one guy that came from Brazil. I don't remember his name now. I think he was the only guy that was teaching it. Now it's all over the place, right? But back in the day, I remember I went out and I met my jiu-jitsu instructor. I went out and I interviewed certain people because it's like you have to be someone that I know is going to like click with me, right? I need to have the same values as you. So for me to find a teacher, I need to make sure it's the right teacher. So when I met Luigi Mondelli, it was like, bing, this is the person. So I started training with him, and he would come to my school and train. I would go to his school, and that was like how we did it, so that I could take my grappling skills that I knew through judo and through sambo and through wrestling and start learning jiu-jitsu. I'll never forget this. I was doing a private with him, and oh my God, he was teaching out of a place, the Center of Martial Arts. I don't think they're there anymore, but I was there. I was getting ready to do the private. And but back then you're never be afraid to put on a white belt again. You put on a white belt, always just trying to learn. And there was a gentleman there. I won't say his name, but he was like, he knew me and he knew like, and he was like, oh my God. He's like, you're going to try now jiu-jitsu and try to learn jiu-jitsu. Do you realize how long it's going to take to get good at jiu-jitsu? And I looked at him like, it's like time's going to pass anyways. It's like, he's like, it's going to take like 8 to 10 years. I'm like, so 8 to 10 years is going to pass, God willing. I would rather then make sure that I have those skills. So fast forward to today. I mean, I'm a third degree black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Back then I was a white belt. If I had that mentality, like, oh my God, you're right. This is going to take so long. You're right. That's the reason why I shouldn't do it, because it's going to take time.
I hear that.
I mean, that's like if you went to college, would you say like, hey, this is going to, oh my God. I don't get that mentality. My brain doesn't work like that.
Right. Yeah. I hear that all the time. Anytime I hear, like, especially in the real estate world where another realtor is like, oh, you would go there, you do that. I'm like, to me, it's like normal and everything is going A-okay. So, but I think when I hear those things, like, they don't have, I mean, that gentleman was just looking at like, oh, this is just time. For you, it wasn't time. It was about learning.
It's about learning. It's right. About improving my life, right. Getting better.
Right. For this, same thing. It's like more about being a, with my belt, as progress goes on, but I don't have a date and a time, but I know what I'm going there for. It's not for the belt. Mm-hmm. Now, you always talk about Russian wrestling.
Yes. So I'm a big fan of... I would just say that my instructor, Joseph, was a big influence on me.
Okay. Tell me a little about him.
Let's see. So this goes way back in the day. My wife at the time was an underwriter, and she was working, I forget, was it PHS she was working for? And there was a family that came from Russia. And my wife had pictures on her desk of me doing stuff, marked moves and stuff. So Joseph's daughter was one of my wife's, I think she worked for my wife. An underwriter, probably a junior underwriter. I don't know. I don't remember what the scenario was, but all I know is, this is very interesting. She came into my wife's office and she saw pictures of me, on the desk doing things. She goes, oh my God. She goes, is your husband does martial arts? And she's like, oh my God, he's a fanatic with martial arts. And she goes, my father is here too. And my father would probably love to meet him. And she goes, what's his number? Because I know my husband will call him. So I gave him a call, and we set up a time, and we were going to meet at a Dunkin' Donuts. And I said, Joseph, I said, how will I know it's you? What do you look like? And he goes in his, I'll do a bad interpretation of his Russian accent. He goes, I will be the one that looks like a wrestler. So,
and then click.
And then that was it. I went, I met him. He has all cauliflower ear. And it was funny, a funny story, because with cauliflower, like when you wrestle, like you'll wear ear guards and stuff, so you don't get that. And, but he's like, oh, back in the day, we didn't have ear guards in Russia. It's like, you knew you're going to get cauliflower ear. There were no ear guards and stuff. So, we had coffee. We definitely hit it off, had a connection. And I was like, hey, do you want to come down and see my school? And so we went down, and that was the first day we just stepped on the mat. And that ended up being an 8-year relationship where he taught And he poured so much information in me. Mm-hmm. He actually was the one who first got us into kettlebells. Oh. I love kettlebell training. Mm-hmm. And he started to get us into kettlebell training, and that was another passion that I mm-hmm. had. So yeah, Joseph Wigderchik, an absolutely amazing man. And it wasn't that long ago, was it maybe a year? I still keep in touch with him. Mm-hmm. And we went out and had a good lunch together and just reminisced on just stuff. So
what was the lesson or the greatest lesson or, you know, when you, what that you took away? Cause it's interesting too. You know, you hear, every time you hear Russia, you always think, ooh, mystery. And you see all the movies and all this stuff going on. So like, what did you like, is it almost like honestly, like a whole new world kind of comes in and just open up your perspective or?
I would say like at the time, technically it was, I was very much into judo and I thought I had a great judo coach and loved this guy too, Sid Kelly, wonderful man. And, but he was starting to show me things. I was like, oh my God, I never saw that before. Like that's really cool. But you know what, Ryan, one of the things that I got from him is how I love living in the US. This is totally different because he said to me things when he goes, boy, when you grew up in Russia, he was like, one thing that blew my mind. He's like, when I came here, and there's people saying things about the president. Like, you could say whatever you want here. Mm-hmm. You could say whatever you want about the president. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I was like, oh, my God. Like, in Russia, it's like, oh, my God. You say things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the same world.
Right. It's totally.
And I think he had said, you know, he had said, like, oh, my God, you say things like that in Russia, then people are going to pick you up. You right. know, it was, right. it was like, I would say like that popped into my head because it made me really even just think of like how blessed we are to be here.
Right.
And it's not like that all over.
Right.
And so anyways.
He taught you to be grateful.
Yeah. Technically, I learned so much from him. And I also learned the different cultures, like people that grow up in different cultures and how we grow up and how he grew up. I feel blessed.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
What is the most influential book that you've read and movie?
Well, book is easy. Bible, for mm-hmm. sure. The Bible. As far as a movie, I would say that I'm trying to think of the name. Like when you said that and then like what popped into my head, I don't remember the name of the movie, but mm-hmm. it was the one where the principal who took over the school, I think was it in Philadelphia? And Morgan Freeman, was it Morgan Freeman? Yeah, that played the principal. It was a high school. It was like okay. falling apart. He took over, true story, right? Yeah. He took over, turned it around, and was that Stand and Deliver, Stand By Me? I don't remember, okay. Ryan, the name of it. But do you know the film I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Oh,
no,
my
I'm
God.
A big movie guy,
you know,
too.
And then
so
I'm giving you that, but I'm
tonight.
Like, I can't remember the name of it. But, oh, my God, it was great. Okay. Yeah, that was great.
If you knew that you were being, your family or someone important to you was going to record you, and they had one more chance, what would you tell them?
I would say,
and I'll say this: not so much of "I love you" and this the greatest wisdom lesson that you could share with them.
You know, like sometimes I think the hardest thing, the lesson that I've learned through life, through all these years, is like when you're talking about success, failures, and you're like. I can talk about a lot of things that I did that were successful. I can talk about a lot of failures that I see as just stepping stones. You know, I learned. But there's some things that I find that I failed, which I do. This would be my life lesson for people. You have to learn to really forgive people. Like, people are doing their best. If someone maliciously does something to you, that's a little bit different than someone makes an honest mistake. But I think we have to look at always like how to forgive and move on. I think sometimes people get stuck on not doing that, having a lot of bad ill will towards people over things that have happened. They don't forgive and they don't find peace in their own life. And they don't find that maybe like what really happened there is not what you're thinking. And is it the true story? And it's like, you got to learn how to let go and move on. So that I think is a key lesson. And I would say that's something in my life that I probably can put a lot of things there that maybe I didn't do that. And I wish I did.
You kind of look back now and there was a couple of people. Now, were they just kind of like very close people, or do you feel like it's more of a, you know, this person at work or this person I don't like too much because of this and that, or is it more?
I think it could be both. Yeah. Could be both. Both situations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you, how would you tell someone to do that, right? That's a huge, like you're saying, hey, every person that you think did you wrong, you got to call them. And
yep. Well, I think sometimes it's more, I'm not sure if I think every situation might be a little bit different that you have to handle it, but I think you have to find peace in yourself to let go and let things pass. And then I think sometimes you have to mend relationships and just make sure that there's probably going to be some people you want to call and say, or meet and just have coffee with and just say, hey, you know, whatever happened in the past, you know, I wish that never happened, but I have no ill will towards you. And I want to make sure that we have this conversation and we are both, on the same page in regard to that. I think more conversations like that need to take place with people. I think it'll make a better, just a better life for people and just makes the whole world better.
Do you feel like too, it adds weight to what you're trying to do? Like if you're trying to reach a goal, it's almost like you're putting like 15 pounds. We might not realize it. Right. Cause I'll be honest with you. Like I can't wait to like listen back to this and kind of reflect on it, you know, I wasn't expecting you to say forgive. I really wasn't. I didn't think that was going to be, I wasn't sure. That just kind of, it caught me off guard, but you got to really reflect on it because you don't really, you know, because if life is always moving fast and there's a grudge and you kind of forget, but I guess you're saying that overall, if you kind of take the step back, look around the people, am I not treating the people around me as good as I should? Is there ways that I can improve? You think that will overall, if you're trying to aim for something or a goal, that will get you to that goal quicker? You think we hold on to it? And that affects us throughout everything else we do.
I think so. Yeah, for sure. I think so. And I think as I reflect on my life, even again, I'm going to be 58, and you ask yourself these questions and you always say like, how do I become a better human? I think if you ask yourself those things, always trying to improve, always trying to get better. I think that relationships should always be on our minds. Like, how do I have better relationships with people, people that are really close to you, people that you just run into? And, I think that that's one that could, be a problem, that people kind of hold grudges against other people. And it's like, if you really think about it, it's like, should you?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, really, should you hold that grudge?
Yeah. Last question, and then we'll just kind of do like how people can contact you. But I had a question. I just forgot it.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, no. What was it? It was good. I was like, boom, and this is how
Tell me about your...
I remember. So, you know, you just said people really have to ask themselves, how can I improve? How can I be better? Why do people have such a hard time or don't ask themselves that question? Why do you think that is?
They get caught up in daily life. They get caught up on what they're just trying to get through their day. They're just trying to get through what their day is instead of maybe reflecting a little bit more on deeper things. And I think that's something that if we reflect a little bit more on those things, I think they start to see daily life becomes better.
Right.
Like but I think that's why. It's like you just get caught up in your life. You know, you've got things you got to do, errands to run, work. It just becomes a routine.
Right.
I don't want to live one day like for 58 years. I want to always improve my days. Mm-hmm. I want to get a little bit better. And all these subjects we talk about, I think that living that way makes life enjoyable and makes life just worth living for people, that we are trying to become better every day.
And I kind of mentioned to you this before, and we're kind of saying it like, oh, this is easy to do, is ask yourself these tough questions, right? Like, you know, why do I do certain things? Why? How can I improve? And a lot of times I try to do it right before bed, right? I'm kind of like, maybe it's not the best to start overthinking in bed, but I'm just kind of like, what can I improve? Mm-hmm. And then I think of something. And I'm like, well, why do I do that? Well, I do that because I don't want this to happen. Well, why do I? And then when you start getting to the core, there could be an ugly answer waiting for you. And it takes a lot of, because I think a lot of times people, you know, one time my wife and I got into an argument. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do something totally different because it never seems to work out the right way or the other. I was like, I'm going to, even if I disagree with her, I'm going to take what she says right now. I'm going to apply it and just take that step. But it was more like kind of a, and I reflected on it. And it was great, but it got to the point where, you know, and I'll be like, there's sometimes that everyone's going to, you know, she was right about most of it. But he got to an answer, and I didn't like where the answer was. And then you kind of see why you're doing it. But it is, like I said, if you...
You mean more for, like, you're doing it because of, like, a little bit of a selfish
reason? Well, it could be a selfish or it could be an insecurity reason why you're doing it. And you don't realize it, right? You don't realize. It's like a small moment, but it's like, okay, and let's say she's right. How did I get there? How did I get to this point? And then you kind of go back and it's like, oh, it was because of insecurity. Oh, because I wasn't feeling confident. Oh, I wasn't feeling enough attention, whatever it may be, right? So I think it's people are busy and they really don't have conversations with themselves on what's going on. And I don't know if people ever think to ask themselves questions. You know, like you say a lot of times too, like, you know, you found figures that you wanted to do it. And I'm glad this is why I'm having this podcast, because there's a lot of times there's maybe some conversations. You know, I always say this, the worst thing that we do as a society is when we blow out candles on a birthday cake, we keep the secret. I think that's the worst thing ever. I think when you have your whole family around, what happens if your wish was, I want to be closer to my family, I want to be healthier, and you have everyone around you that love you, you should tell what they are doing.
For sure. So we want to share that.
Yep. You know, so it's like, that would probably be one thing, you know, that a lot of people don't say is like they don't ask themselves the tough questions. They don't kind of rip because this world can be tough. It can be cruel. It will ridicule, look at social media. And then if all of a sudden you're the person, now yourself is starting to go. That can be a very scary place.
Yeah. I think, I'm sure we've all heard this, where sometimes people will do the urgent things and not the important things. And you got to be really clear over urgent and important. Mm-hmm. They're not the same.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
Meaning that, like, oh my God, I got to respond to all these emails. I've got to answer the phone. I've got to do this. I have to do this in my day. But what else do you do in your day that's important that maybe you're not doing, like connecting with people, making sure that you carve out time for yourself, making sure you carve out time for your loved ones, making sure that whatever that list is that's important for you. Oh, here's another one. Mm-hmm. People say, I don't have time to exercise.
You ever see the Facebook? You can see all how much time you spend on yourself on the iPhone.
It's those things that, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. These are important things in my life. If it is important to you, you've got to carve out the time to get those things done. And a little bit of self-management, you could do it. We all could do it. And get rid of the other things that aren't so important, right? And just taking those urgent things and making sure you're putting them in the right spot where, yes, they have to get done, but they shouldn't get done to the point that all of these other things that you know in your life are important that you're not doing. So that takes a little bit of management, a little bit of taking your schedule out and making sure that those important things have time in your schedule to get done.
Do you have a favorite quote?
Do I have a favorite quote?
You don't. No worries.
I would say I have a lot of favorite quotes. Yeah. I would say the one that I shared with you today is one of my favorites. Passion is a great alarm clock.
Great alarm clock. Right?
So for the last question, if people who are watching this listening right now want to continue this conversation, maybe it's just more to reach out first to get an understanding. Like I remember when we talked like, hey, does this seem like this would be best for me? You know, how can they reach out to you? What do you normally do? Like, what would you, just to make people feel, ah, no, this is not scary to call. And
yeah. Probably first thing is, taking a look at the website, they'll see. So it's ctkrabmaga.com that you'll see the website, you'll see programs and things like that. And anybody that's interested in doing martial arts, I would say go take a look. We might be the place for you. Someone else might be the place for you. And just take time making the decision to make sure that it's the right school, because if it's the right school, you'll probably be there for a long time training. Yeah. So, yeah.
This is not just physical, it's mental too. Mental. I think people forget that there's a huge, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has been more mental than physical. Like everything I can do, but it's just more of the thinking that comes mm-hmm. with it, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
All right, Dennis, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it.
I'll see you at the next session.
Sounds good, Ryan. Have a good day.
You too.